Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Monday. Hope you all had a great weekend. I know I did. And we are one step closer to the Green Bay Packers arriving for training camp. In fact, rookies arrive this Friday, July 18th, with the veterans slated to report next week, July 22nd. We are so close, people. So very close. But in the meantime, as per usual, not a ton of headlines here in the midst of summer. Obviously, the Packers undoubtedly trying to get things done contractually with one or more guys. I know we saw some news out of the Jets today. Garrett Wilson signing a pretty lucrative contract extension there. The wide receiver, who definitely earned it, no question about it, but I have to think we'll see more and more of these deals start to get done as we approach camp, and hopefully one or two of them will be in Green Bay, Wisconsin. In the meantime, I did want to highlight and kind of preview the quarterback position today, see where the Packers are sitting. Obviously, it very much begins and kind of ends with Jordan Love. This is his time to arrive. We've all seen the glimpses. We all saw what is possible with Jordan at quarterback back in 2023, that late season run to the playoffs. Just outstanding in every aspect of the game to last year where, you know, it's been much talked about his injuries to start the season, a real inconsistent affair throughout 2024. No doubt you can point to the injuries, but certainly the problems at receiver with the drops and inconsistent spacing and bad route running and things like that certainly play a part. But Jordan was not without blame in some of the inconsistency they had on offense in the passing game. But it is his time now in 2025, a full season in control. He knows the offense better than anybody, has a full complement of weapons, certainly some additions to the offense that are going to be very exciting, whether you're talking about the rookies, whether you're talking about Marshawn Lloyd, things of that nature, a revamped offensive line, which should make life a little bit easier for him. Very excited to watch Jordan Love come into his own, so to speak. And it's weird to say that for a guy who's been in the league 6 years. Third year as a starter, it is certainly his time to take that next step and kind of solidify himself among the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league. I know there's been a lot of talk today about the ESPN rankings from NFL officials, of course, always done totally anonymously, because you'd have to be anonymous to say with your whole chest that Joe Burrow is better than Lamar Jackson, which is apparently what some actual paid to work in football folks did. But yes, Jordan Love, now it is his time. There are no excuses. It is time for him to become one of the best in the league. And I think he will. You guys know me. I'm a Jordan Love stan. At backup, obviously, there's Malik Willis heading into the final year of his deal. Going to be very interesting to see how much playing time he gets this summer in these preseason games. I don't think they're going to completely sit Jordan in the ones throughout the preseason, but I do think you're going to see a lot of Malik Willis. And it has that feel that if he can kind of pick up where he left off when he had to appear last year in the early games that he started, if he can put up a performance akin to what we saw last year, man, there's some, kind of Mr. August, Matt Hasselbeck style things coming into play there. If you get to the end of the summer and someone's maybe making a call and asking you for Malik Willis, I think a lot of that will depend clearly on the play of whoever ends up winning the number three job. Sean Clifford certainly didn't engender much confidence last year. There's no doubt about that, either in training camp or in the preseason. Obviously they drafted Michael Pratt. That did not last. And Allergsma is now here. Air Canada, who, did not get signed after the draft initially, but did get invited to the Senior Bowl and acquitted himself quite well there, and apparently had a hell of an audition in Green Bay and was slated to have a couple tryouts to other places, most notably Buffalo. But the Packers signed him, and by all accounts, kid's got a live arm. And you can tell when a guy can zip it, right, when you're there live. And obviously, I haven't seen him throw yet, but I am very excited to get to Green Bay this summer for camp and take a look and witness it. Because, I mean, there are guys who can throw it hard or throw it far or whatever, but then there are guys who are just different. And it sounds like this kid's got some pretty good heat. So I'm very much looking forward to that. But of course, none of that means anything if he doesn't grasp the playbook, he doesn't understand the concepts. And, you know, it's a bit of a different game from Canada to America. But certainly all the early reviews would suggest that he's got a legitimate chance to stick around, at least on the practice squad. We'll see how he takes to the offense and how many real opportunities he gets in camp, because that's tough when you've got four quarterbacks. Matt's talked about it. It's difficult finding reps for all four guys, especially when you've got an entrenched starter who needs most of the reps, obviously, with the ones. Going to be interesting to see how Matt divvies that up, so to speak. But certainly a position that you see a lot of talent, a lot of upside. And I would say, given what we heard from Brian Gutekunst a couple years ago about wanting to continuously find quarterbacks, Ellersma could be a guy. He could be a player in this league. And I'm not saying he's going to be an eventual starter or anything, but the potential seems to be there. But again, very much excited to get to camp and see these guys, you know, in pads, playing some at least approximation of football, as opposed to running around in shorts and t-shirts. What's going on in the comment section? So good to see everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going, of course, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King is based in Wisconsin since 1992. Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the Cheesehead TV homepage, or indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. Start with a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, folks. You know you want to. You want to see the green and gold in person, just like you want to say hi via Super Chat. What's going on, folks? Mimsy, thank you for the Super Chat. Content idea, Banker versus Banky in the Octagon. Look, what Corey Banky does on his Twitter is up to Corey Banky. I have no part in it. He is a big boy. He can speak for himself. I didn't really see what went on today. I did see they were having a bit of a back and forth, and I kept scrolling. And can I just address that for a second? Because that's really what made me, like, kind of what I took away from that interaction, the little bit that I saw. It's so easy. It's so easy just to keep scrolling. That's my motto. Just keep scrolling. You don't like it? You disagree? It's problematic even. Like, you think this person's terrible. Just keep scrolling. You're not solving it on Twitter. I guarantee you that. Especially a subject matter of that import. No serious subject has ever been solved or advanced or figured out on an app as ludicrous and hilarious as Twitter. Ever. That was my two cents there. Jason, thanks for the Super Chat, man. Could a good camp and early season by Isaiah Simmons change the thinking of extending Quay? I suppose there's a possibility. I doubt it, though. I certainly think, you know, Brian, and I have to take him at his word, though we know he's changed his mind before. I do buy that, you know, Quay Walker is part of their long-term thinking and a part of their core. And you wouldn't say that if the thought was, well, we could have this kid come in, or kid, not kid anymore, but Isaiah Simmons could arrive and just show up and have a few good practices and a couple good preseason games, and now we're not going to sign him anymore. Now, to your point, early season, if there's not an extension done for Quay by the time the season kicks off and Isaiah Simmons does hit the ground running and is lights out, right? There's a potential, I would suppose, but I also think they're going to be asked to do pretty different things. I think Isaiah Simmons is going to be playing a lot more when they go to three linebackers, and when they're in the majority of their sets, which are two linebacker sets, I think you're going to see mostly Quay and Edrin Cooper. You know, that's guesswork on my part right now, but I do believe that will be the plan. But we'll see. Who knows? You're right. If Simmons comes in and lights up camp and is revelatory as far as being kind of pared down and being able to just focus on one aspect of a position rather than pretty much his entire NFL career, he's talked about this. He talked about it this offseason, how, you know, his first two stops, whether it was in Arizona or in New York, you know, he's being asked to do a lot of different things, some safety, some slot stuff, some traditional linebacker stuff. Whereas in Green Bay, he's going to be asked to do just play the Sam, play the Will. That's it. So could that unlock something? It's possible. They certainly seem, given what we've seen through OTAs and minicamp, certainly seem intent on finding out. But I will remind you that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you'll see things like that in shorts and t-shirts that never materialize once they get to training camp. You know, they may go through whatever meetings in the offseason and think, yeah, look at the practice tape and think, nope, that's not going to work. And then they kind of strike it and move on from there. Not saying that's going to happen here. I'm just saying it's a possibility, right? But it's a definite, you know, it's an interesting question and one that I think we'll watch play out this summer. Jeff Smith, how are you, brother? Thanks for the super chat. I judge my quarterbacks by their weddings, and Clifford is QB1. Clifford Truther. Jeff, it wouldn't happen to be anything to do with his and your alma mater, would it? No, of course not. Not naturally. No. Yes, definitely all about the wedding. See you, Jeff. Michael, what's going on, man? Does Lambo have any non-Packers sporting events coming up? These events are awesome. No, I could easily Google this, but where's the fun in that? I'm glad you asked this question. Not that I'm aware of outside of like the shareholders meeting, especially this close to camp, it would be very unusual for them to have any kind of an event, especially if it like had anything to do with the field. This close to the season, they would be loath to allow anyone to have any kind of event in Lambeau. But maybe, you know, I know the Wisconsin High School Sports Awards just happened at Lambeau, but that's in the atrium. But outside of that, nothing that I can recall off the top of my head. Again, I would doubt there would be anything going on this close to the season. But I do want to address what you said there at the end. You could easily Google this, but where's the fun in that? I remember having this conversation with a couple people online a couple years ago, you know, this idea that I'm here every day talking to you guys, right? Packers fans worldwide. And yeah, that's something you could Google, but I like to think the reason I do this each and every day of my life, apparently Monday through Friday anyway, is because we connect. That's the whole idea, that I'm connecting with you Packers fans, to the team and with your kind of fandom along with mine to the Green Bay Packers that we all love. Like, there's nothing wrong with asking that question, because maybe I do know something and maybe I've got an experience with something that you'd like to hear about. Like, so don't ever feel bad about asking something that, yeah, you probably could Google, but I'm happy to talk about it. That's literally why I'm here. Just something that, you know, I've been rattling around in my head for a while and I wanted to share with you guys. Mark, that's an interesting question. Hey, Nags, is it true that second-round pick Belton hasn't signed because he wants a fully guaranteed contract? Now, that's the last part that's incorrect. It's not because, not through any reporting that I've seen or heard or read anywhere, that he wants a fully guaranteed contract. However, that is the holdup. The guaranteed money is the holdup with the entire second round. The Texans and the Browns have signed their second-rounders to fully guaranteed contracts. And now there are 30-some other second-rounders essentially kind of waiting to see if the dam breaks. Maybe there's some kind of coordinated effort by agents to say everyone holds out for fully guaranteed money. I can't imagine that lasts well into camp, but it's, you know, maybe that's the approach. But no, Belton has not demanded a fully guaranteed contract. Now, I think it's fascinating that this is a conversation coming on the heels of the NFL and NFLPA stuff about the league legit caught red-handed texts between owners, making sure that no one broke the lines after Deshaun Watson's fully guaranteed deal. Make sure, you know, we all got to band together and make sure, fully colluding to make sure that no other quarterback gets a fully guaranteed deal. Now here we are, fast forward to this summer, and we're approaching camp, and none of these other second-rounders have signed. I wonder if any contract negotiators and GMs have been told, don't you do it. Don't you set that precedent. Yeah, interesting. It's going to be interesting to track. But this is not to Mark, to get back to your question, it's not a Belton issue. It's a kind of game of chicken between teams and these agents trying to make sure that, you know, they don't set this precedent of the entire second round being fully guaranteed. Though I think it should be. Hell, I think every NFL player should have a fully guaranteed contract, but at least the premium picks, let's say like through round three, should get fully guaranteed deals. I think it's absurd that they don't. But the NFL has gotten to this place as far as dominating the marketplace because they have kept player costs down. Everyone talks about it anytime, like, say, a basketball player or especially a baseball player signs these monster deals and they dwarf what the NFL guys are making. Yet the NFL exposure, the ratings, etc., is 10 times what's happening in Major League Baseball or in the NBA. You know, the NFL owners have figured it out. They cracked that code a long time ago. But that, it's much more about that than it is anything to do with Belton demanding anything. What else we got here, folks? Jason, thanks again, man. Why did we draft Bruce Clark when we knew he didn't want to play in Green Bay? Another huge pre-Ron Wolf blunder. Man, that's a you're pulling like an old school one right here. Because he was a really good player. I remember they desperately needed help on defense, obviously, rushing the passer. And look, Ron Wolf, you're talking about pre-Ron Wolf. Ron Wolf almost had a blunder himself when he traded for Keith Jackson, who wanted nothing to do with going to Green Bay. Now, obviously, finally that worked out. But, you know, if you've got the opportunity to add a special player, which is what they thought Clark was, then you've got to take it. You know, those types of players are what change organizations. They change your, you know, the makeup of your team. They thought he'd be a blue chip player and they wanted him. That's, you know, I for all the pre-Ron Wolf nonsense, I mean, it's tough, obviously, because he ended up going to Canada, whatever. But, you know, I don't, of all the mistakes they made, that's not the highest on my list. Let's say that. Soda, what's going on, man? NIL has broken the NFL model of the kids will take what we give them because they need money. They also have a better understanding of their worth. I think that second part is true. I'm not so sure. I heard a couple people talking about this morning about the NIL kind of influence here. I suppose it clearly, you know, is a part of the context. I'm not going to dismiss it completely. But I also think it's, you know, this has been coming for quite some time. Certainly, I think the NIL feeds into that last part of what you're talking about, like know your worth, right? Kids coming out of college probably have a much better idea of what that is. But at the same time, you know, like I said, I think we're still a ways away from all these deals being guaranteed. Matthew Clark, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Congrats, Negs, on Chelsea. Hope you enjoyed it. Go, Pack, go. Let's just say, my neighbors definitely knew I was watching the final. Let's just say that. And to everyone who tells me, oh, it's the Club World Cup. The Club World Cup doesn't matter. You know who says the Club World Cup doesn't matter? Every fan of every club that didn't win the Club World Cup. God, that was awesome. It was so awesome. What a match. Cole Palmer. The fact Cole Palmer is just walking the same streets as me is just amazing to me. Absolutely love it. Brandy, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. What do you like to see in a backup quarterback? I just compare them to Brett Hundley or David Whitehurst. Flynn was an outlier, and Willis actually wins. Well, Willis leads them to victory. He doesn't win on his own. It takes all 11. And yes, the quarterback is the most important, but he is not alone out there. Quarterback wins are not a stat. What do I look for in a backup QB? Upside. Athleticism, the ability to throw the ball, know where to put it, and a real student of the game. You have to be, right? The ability to sit there cold for a whole game and then all of a sudden your number is called and you got to go in, that is not easy. And some guys are better at it than others. I think you saw it with Malik last year when he came in during that Jaguars game. You know, there's no doubt that it is one of the more difficult jobs in the NFL, you know, let alone in sports. But yeah, mostly I want you to be a student of the game. You're probably a backup because you're don't have quite the tools that the starters do more often than not always, but more often than not. So you better have it all figured out up up here, you know? Daryl, I think that's pretty much what's going to happen. What if they keep both quarterbacks or at least one in the practice squad? Clifford and Lurgsma can compete for the third string quarterback while one of them lands in practice squad. Well, I do think one of them will land in the practice squad, and I think it'll probably be Air Canada, though we will see. I would be absolutely shocked if they, you know, have three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. That would be a big-time surprise. Can't take away the Emirates NBA Cup from the Bucks. Yes, true. It is won. It is memorialized in the rafters forever. No doubt about it. Rai, it's a good question. Could Zach Tom play left tackle effectively? I'll tell you what, I would not bet against Zach Tom being able to do anything when it comes to playing any position along the offensive line. I do think he's entrenched himself on the right side. I don't see him getting moved. Crazier stuff has happened, though, and if there's a coach and staff that's shown they're not afraid to shake things up and maybe make something, a move that dramatic, certainly Matt LaFleur's staff. So we'll see in a couple weeks here when we get back to Green Bay and get these guys on the field. But I, like I said, I do think we'll probably see him entrenched on the right side and hopefully enter camp with a new deal. That would be the hope there. E4, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Malik reminded me of Zeke Bratkowski. Expected the team to still win. I got to admit, man, heading into that week two game, I didn't know what to expect, especially given how little time he'd been in the building. And that's the thing I think that sometimes gets forgotten. He'd been at 1265 for like a month by the time he had to start a game. He didn't go through the offseason program. He wasn't on the field during training camp or the preseason games. Like, it was all mental with some reps, like walkthrough style in practice. And then he went out there and did that. That's so impressive. I can't begin to express how impressive that is. Now, obviously, throughout that next week, he obviously built on what he did in week two. Like I mentioned earlier, the Jacksonville game coming in there, very impressive. But one of the more impressive things I've ever seen in the NFL is Malik Willis in that Colts game. Like, people don't understand how fucking tough that would be. And he absolutely shined. A real, real good job. All right, everybody, I have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Patreon members, Care of the G Club members, don't forget, we have a very early in the week happy hour tonight. That's right, 6 p.m. Eastern. The information is on your respective pages, so make sure you check that out. Everyone else, please hit like, hit subscribe. And I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.